Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
You have offended
this podcast,
and you have offended
the entire movie making community.
Now remember, when you hear the buzzer, there is only one rule.
Have found it. This is You Have Offended This Podcast. We are the biggest, the baddest, and the best martial arts movie podcast kicking around these parts of the internet. My name is Mike McCarron, and with me, as always, is the man who kills other men easily. Chad Lindsay, how you doing, buddy?
Yes. Well, just me and my rubber face have no problem kicking the shit.
You do have a rubber face. I've seen it.
Comers. I've seen it. Big, jiggly, fat ass rubber face, man. So we're doing Best of the Best Part 2.
Yes.
Like, Best of the Best, I think that was the second one that we did on this podcast.
It is.
I think that was our second one. I got to say, Best of the Best 2 just. It's nowhere near as good as the first film. There are things that I like about this film, and there are things that I think are just, like, completely fucking stupid and off the rails. So I'm going to approach it, like, right down the middle.
Yeah.
Because I will call out the things that I like.
Yeah.
But I will call out the sheer amount of dog shit that goes into this. Particularly, it's focused mostly on the script and the story.
Yeah.
Which... Whenever you're watching a film and the plot moves forward because the actors are stupid or do stupid things, you've got a bad script.
Yeah.
Like, you've got a really bad script on your hands when you rely on contrivances or the characters to do things that make no fucking sense. Like... taking an 11-year-old to an underground death match in the basement of a rave club in Vegas in your Pontiac Firebird. I remember watching this with Legere. I remember you and me and Legere rented this when he was living on Bland Street, and we watched it and we were like, what the fuck?
Because, like, the first one was so goddamn good. We were like, oh, they got another one. Awesome. Yeah. And then this came out and we were like, what? What the fuck?
What the fuck? I mean, I appreciate that they're like, hey, we're not going to do a tournament. We're going to go in a different direction. We're not going to do the exact same story that
you know,
a lot of sequels get caught up in.
Yes.
So I appreciated the fact that they went in a different direction. I appreciated some of the performances, and some of the acting is actually better in this film than the first film.
Yes.
Some of the acting.
Yeah.
But the goddamn story, like, I'm literally passed out because I was rolling my eyes so much. Like, I was fucking laying on the floor in a pool of my own blood and piss trying to figure out, like, how fucking idiotic this plot is.
My wife thought I was a zombie because all she could see was the whites of my eyes. She was like, what's wrong with you? I was like, this movie. Oh, Christ.
But, you know, again, as we go through it, I'll talk about the things that I thought were really, really good. Like,
yeah.
there are some real highlights in here. And then there's some real moments where I'm like, I don't fucking understand why anyone would. Okay.
No.
Fine. You know,
yeah.
So
doesn't make sense.
Yeah, let's break it down, brother.
Break it down, man. This movie opens with the flashback to the previous movie, the final tournament scene with Alex and Tommy winning the tournament against Dehan and the other guys. And then we cut to the helicopter bringing the new villain of this movie, Baracus, played by the gigantic fucking Ralph Moeller, to his club that he owns in Vegas, which, again, like, I don't like this because it's like a dance club, like you said, a rave club, but in the basement, there's like a death pit thing they call the Coliseum where Richie Richardsons hang out above and watch dudes kill each other.
There is a dance club in Las Vegas where in the basement is an underground illegal fighting tournament, which can lead to fights to the death.
Yes.
And it is packed to the tits with affluent white business people.
Yes.
In tuxedos and cocktail dresses, and they're dressed to the nines, and it's fucking emceed by none other than Wayne fucking Newton. Like, Wayne fucking Newton. Like, honestly, like, it sounds like I'm making fun of it. I think that this is great. Like, I think this is, like, some of the best. It's stupid, but I can swallow that, right?
Yes. Okay.
It's a secret club. Wayne Newton, who is fucking incredible in this.
He's really good.
And the current champion is also the owner of the club, which I fucking loved, and they did not use it as well as I thought they could have. So if you're going to go crazy, I'm okay with going crazy. And I'm like, all right, here it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Wayne Newton, Underground Club, whoever's the heavyweight fucking champion is also the owner.
And it passes to whoever beats him.
Yeah. And it passes on to whoever fucking, like, yeah.
Contractually, if you beat him, you now own the fucking club. Like,
you now own the illegal underground club. It is fucking awesome.
Yeah, this is amazing. So they get a couple of fights here in the beginning, guys coming out and beating the whoop ass out of each other, and we get the view of, like you said, Brakus comes out and they're like, "This is the heavyweight champion," and he puts his hands up and shit. Ralph Moeller's huge.
Ralph Mahler is fucking great. Like, even years later, he's in Beer Fest, and he's fantastic in Beer Fest.
Yeah.
He's amazing in Beer Fest. I really like him. I really like him as an actor. I thought he did a pretty, like...
He did a good job.
Do you remember, at this time, the guys that were, like, the biggest bodybuilders in the world could also fucking jog and run
right.
and move and stretch. They also had flexibility.
They were, like, athletic.
If you had, like, fucking, yeah, Jay Cutler or Ronnie Coleman. Imagine one of those in the octagon.
Ronnie
right?
Coleman just can't imagine. Walk anymore.
No, he can't fucking walk. That's why, like, a ring card girl could beat up Ronnie Coleman, right? So I actually like how Ralph Mahler is... He's massive and huge, but he's also athletic,
yeah.
and it's not bad. I really think they could have taken away from his kicks and punches and made him a little bit more of a wrestler.
Yes,
because I think that would have worked.
They should have brought in a
better, but
yeah, they should have brought in a big Greco guy to show him how to do some big Greco-Roman, like, big throws and shit.
Yeah,
so he
man.
Could have just tossed
yeah,
like, motherfuckers left and right this way and that, as they
yeah,
say.
Yeah, just like when Dan Severin suplexed Anthony Macias and broke his fucking head, neck, back, shoulder, spine, nuts, and feet, like, in one suplex. I thought it was great.
Yeah, that would have been incredible, right? But they made him a little more strikey. So
there's things on this where I'm like, fuck yes, I absolutely. Dig this, but then at other points it asked me to just swallow too much.
Yeah.
It's just too much. I'm just like...
Well, you jump in with both feet here and I'm good. With the club, like you said, the club thing, Ralph Mahler, you beat this guy, you own the club. I'm like, all right, that's cool. I'm in. Let's roll. And then this ripped-looking black dude comes out and I was like, who's this guy? And then Travis comes out, Chris Penn, in his blue cut-off sleeve gi, looking like he's rolling in from Wendy's. And he beats the shit out of this black dude post haste. And I'm like, okay. And all the crowd's like, ah, look at the fat guy. And he cleans the floor with this dude who looks like he's a fucking statue.
I mean, it fucking absolutely breaks my heart that we don't have Chris Penn with us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He is such a great actor that is just used as a plot device in this film. That's another thing
yeah.
that, like, okay, you're going to kill Travis. Cause this is basically, you know, the first film was about them trying to become a team together. And you had Virgil and you had Sonny, you know, and you had these guys all learning to work together as a team.
Yeah.
And then in this, like, they don't even fucking know each other anymore.
Yep.
And basically they use all the goodwill that they built up with Travis to basically just ice him in the first fight, which, you know, I'm not a fan of.
No, I didn't like it either. Like you said, Chris Penn's a good actor. The fact that he died in 2006 at 40, fuck, man.
Yeah.
Like, that kills, because he was really good.
Yeah.
And in this movie, like, the journey that we had with Travis in the first movie, where he was a complete piece of shit coming into that tournament, and then ended up being real tight with Tommy and Virgil and Al. Like, they were an actual team, you know? And then here, they just toss him the fuck away. And, you know, like, the fact that, like, why don't you have, like, to fix this movie in 8 seconds, kill Sonny Landham. You don't know him in this movie. He's fucking, if you want to bring him in still, he's Tommy's adopted brother or whatever the fuck. And he gets killed by Brockus.
You want to fix this movie, you take him out. I love him.
Oh, I love him too. None of that should be in this.
He should not have been in this film. But, okay, they want a big moment. They kill Travis, and it's like, okay, cool. But at the end of the film, it doesn't feel like a redemption for Travis.
No.
Like, it just, it's almost like, hey, I beat Brockus. And you're not like, yeah, and you avenge the death of Travis too, Tommy. Oh yes. And this one's for Travis. It was just a little off for me. But then we have, cut to Walter, who's grown up a little bit. You know, good actor. Kid's good actor.
He is a good actor.
I'm not taking anything away from him.
No, Eden
he's
Gross.
In this movie way too fucking much. But you know, that's
he is.
That's fine. You know, he was a plot device in the first one. You know, oh, I gotta go see my son, Frank.
Yeah. And he's a plot device in this one. Oh, I watched Travis die. Like, what the fuck, man?
But Travis is in the fucking bar after he beat the Parisian guy, and he just starts talking mad shit to Brockus. And he's just like, oh, you're the champion? Oh, that's what a champion looks like around here? I'll tell you, a couple naps on the jaw, and I think you'd be out in a second. And to their credit, like, Wayne Newton and Brockus are fucking awesome in this scene.
They are. They're legitimately very good.
Chris Penn is a great actor, but I had forgotten Wayne Newton was in this fucking movie. That's how long it has been since I've seen it. But Wayne Newton would have been about 50 when this was filmed. And he's great. Like, he just oozes charisma.
Yep.
And he's just Wayne Newton playing Wayne Newton as a guy that owns, okay, instead of being a singer, you own an underground club, but be exactly the same.
Yeah.
And he is. Like, he doesn't alter anything about his personality to become a fucking underground fight promoter, murderer, scumbag that hangs out with fucking hairless German bodybuilders in the basement of a club.
Yep. They just said, Wayne, listen, you're playing a character named Weldon, okay? But let's be honest, it's you, okay? Just be you, Wayne. Just be you. We wrote the character for you, so be you.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's just fucking Wayne.
In the script, in the script, it just says, you know, Brockus sips the champagne, nods at Brickley, and walks out. Wayne Newton continues to act like Wayne fucking Newton. Like, that's written on the page.
Wayne Newton gonna Wayne Newton. So, yeah.
Wayne Newton gonna Wayne Newton, son.
So, yeah, they have the black belt test for Walter there, which, you know, he does everything good except the last thing he has to break this, what is it, a concrete brick or some shit?
Yeah, something like
and
that.
And he can't. He doesn't break it. And Tommy's like, hey, Walter, if you don't break that shit, then kiss your black belt ass goodbye. He doesn't quit. He doesn't phrase it quite like that. He says, if you don't break it, you don't pass.
Yeah.
But he doesn't break it, and so he doesn't pass. And then everybody goes out to dinner afterwards at this restaurant, and we get a little quick look at Alex's girlfriend, who is she's actually a pretty good actress. I don't mind her. Meg Foster playing Sue McCauley. She's pretty good here. And
she's been in a lot of things, and you know, she's known for those steel, icy, cold eyes that, you know, she has.
Yeah, she's got like 124 acting credits. She's been around forever. So speaking of acting credits, I didn't know this, but when I looked this up, take a wild guess how many acting credits Eric Roberts has.
Eric Roberts?
Yeah, take a wild guess how many acting credits you think he has.
The funny thing with Eric Roberts is I would say a lot, like he got a lot like post 2005, right? Because like, I don't know, I would say that motherfucker is probably close to 200. Like, I wouldn't surprise me if he's like in 180, because I was watching The Righteous Gemstones the other night and he just shows up. Like, he just pops up in things, man.
Yeah.
So I Like, it's probably ridiculous. Like 150 to 180.
Try 656.
Are you fucking serious?
IMDb credits him with 656 fucking acting credits.
That motherfucker must be a dodecazillionaire.
Right?
He is a dodecazillionaire. Like, he's got more money. Like fucking Jeffrey Wright. Jeffrey Wright and Chef. That guy got money longer than train smoke, man.
Yeah, I was baffled by that. I was like, holy shit.
600.
That is astonishing.
600.
Like, that's the most I've ever seen on somebody by far. And we've done guys that have had acting credits since the 40s. You know what I mean? Like, he started acting in 77. And he's still acting now.
He's been going at it a long time, but I gotta say, and let's just talk about Eric Roberts' acting. Like,
it's good in this. It's good in this, man.
It's good in this. He's subdued a bit because, like, he has a tendency to really oversell and overact. Like, he does, right?
Well, I mean, we still to this day go shit, Tommy Poppet. Like,
shit, Tommy Poppet. Oh, hey Frank. It's not bad. Like, I was watching The Righteous Gemstones, and he shows up, and he's kind of like this older kind of dude now, and he's just fucking really cool. He looks great.
Yeah.
And his acting seems to be just kind of in a pocket now, like just right in the pocket.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really overact too much in this, and maybe that's because everybody, when they saw him, probably just screamed, shit, Tommy Poppet.
Yeah. He probably took it down a notch or two for this
3 years. Yeah. He just fucking gets up in the morning, goes out to check the mail. Shit, Tommy Poppet.
You're like, oh fuck, Jesus, for Christ's sake.
I really overacted in that fucking.
Jeez. All right, moment. All he's back. Which he does. Yeah, you're right. He's right in a good spot here. He really plays it down the right line, I think. You know, there's everybody acting wise. Pretty good, man. Like, I really, with acting, I don't really have any complaints. It's just what they're asked to do with respect to storyline and plot. It just puts them in these fucked situations.
I mean, all these black belts, all these kids are under a black belt today except Walter.
Yep.
And Alex gets up and says, you failed, but you handled your failure with dignity. I'm so proud of you. Everyone. To Walter Grady. He didn't say fuck all to the rest of the people that actually earned their black belt.
Right.
Like, I think it would have been great for him to actually, you know, say something to the others and then, oh, and by the way, Walter, you know, you didn't get it this time, but, you know.
Chin up, buckaroo.
You know, next time's the time. Chin up. You're awesome. Proud of you. You handled it really well. And that's the signs of a true champion. That leads me to believe that you're going to get it next time. I'm going to buy you a couple of those concrete bricks. We'll practice at home, son.
Break that shit, son. You know, yeah, like, say, and then that'll make all the other kids clap for him because they were already recognized.
Yeah, but the thing that's fucked is, like, you know, we get into the movie, we're about 20 minutes into the movie. 10 minutes is establishing Las Vegas, Underground, Brockus, Wayne Newton, Secret Club, Travis, and then we get 10 minutes of fucking Walter's black belt test. And it's hey, man. Why don't you balance out, like, you know, the relevant plot details here?
Yeah.
Like, it just, there's more emphasis on Tommy and Alex, like, fucking cooking and Walter playing fucking Tetris. And
yeah.
Alex is putting on this stupid fucking French apron. And
yeah.
Like, hey, how you doing, Walter? It's like, come on.
Let me make the list of shit I don't care about. Because at the top of it is Alex cooking. And Walter's fucking black belt test. I don't care. Why are you showing me this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like it's like the director / editor of the film is like, you know, they always say that, you know, like the artist will put on the screen what is important, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if there's a gun, you know, Chekhov always said, you know, it's got to go off in the third act and all these things. And it's like there's a lot. There is a fuck of a lot with Walter here.
Yeah.
But this is the contrived plot where Alex and Tommy are going to go out and Walter has a babysitter. Walter called the babysitter and canceled.
Yep.
She doesn't bother to call Alex to verify, but anyway. So they're like, okay, well, Walter, you're not allowed to stay at home, but Uncle Travis is going to be by later. He's going to babysit you. And they fuck off and leave Walter.
Yep.
Travis shows up and he's like, oh, my dad said you have to babysit me. And he's like,
you're going to take me bowling.
I'm on my way to an underground fight below a dance club in Vegas. Get in, but just don't tell your dad I took you to this place.
Right? Like dude, you're seriously. Not that fucking stupid. Travis is not that stupid. One little quick thing I want to mention is while they're driving in the car, in the Firebird, you can see the tow rig on the front of the Firebird.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you look for it real quick, if you look in the bottom right corner, while Travis and Walter are driving, you can see the tow rig. It's fucking funny. But anyway, it's a small little thing there. But they drive into this back alley, and the bouncer that lets Travis in the back alleyway door lets Walter in because Travis is like, oh, he's my ring guy or fucking corner man or whatever some stupid shit he says.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you're not going to let a child into a nightclub or B, a fucking deathmatch club. Like, yeah. No. The fuck, man. And he doesn't go like backstage with Travis. They put him up in the goddamn lighting rigging with some fucking old guy that doesn't know Walter. Like, the fuck?
Hey, yeah, there's like a fucking cameraman or a spotlight operator or something, because he's up there in the rigging, and he's like, hey, don't worry, kid, you can hang out with me. We're gonna just film this death match, you know, with the ladies coming around in the bikini thongs and the showgirl hair, and it's pretty fucked.
It is pretty fucked. So they show the crowd. They're all around there. Wayne Newton's out in the middle doing his welcome to the Coliseum, and Baracus is in there watching. Comes down with his big robe and his fucking unitard. And Chris Penn's out there with his red gi with his cut-off sleeves. And they're prepping for this this match here. And they do it very Roman. I know it's named the Colosseum, but they do it with the very Roman Colosseum thing where these guys fight. And then at the end, Wayne Newton does the thumb up, thumb down, does he live, does he die thing, and kind of leaves it up to the crowd. But fuck, man, I'll tell you. Chris Penn's got some good little shoulder movement, head movement, fucking around, and goddamn Ralph Mulder looks huge. And I like Wayne Newton's little thing. It's the Coliseum, and they say, "Yeah." The crowd freaks out, and he goes, "And you love it,
and you love it." Yeah, he's like, "Yeah." The only rule is there are no rules.
Yeah,
and you love it.
It's pretty good. Like that part, he does it before every fight. But it's like three or four times in the movie, and it's all right. It makes me laugh because it's Wayne Newton.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, like they got all these rich white people in the tuxedos. But I mentioned this a couple of weeks before where they actually go to matches and they don't know how to act. So they just clench both fists in front of their body and just pump their fists up and down like in unison. Like they don't know what to do. So they just do fucking stupid. And you know that stuff was all captured when the actors actually weren't in the Coliseum.
Yes.
So they're all just like going, oh my God, this is so amazing. It's like, do you guys ever actually been to a fight before?
Yeah, like, right?
Like nobody is acting like you would at a fight. Well, this is actually a murder. So
there is that. Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
It's not bad though. Like the way Baracus grabs Travis's arm and gets him in that like overhook armbar and smashes him in the face. And Chris Penn does a good job of, when he gets hit by Baracus, doing that look of like, oh, fuck, this is a different kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know when you watch a real fight, like in the UFC, and maybe a guy's won a couple fights, and then he goes up a level?
Yeah.
And, you know, he's up against somebody who's a better fighter, and now they get hit or kicked by that person, and they get that look of like, oh, fuck, this is not the same thing that I'm used to anymore. You know, or they get ragdolled by one of those Dagestani grapplers and you're like, oh my God. Like you just see the look in their eyes of like, fuck, this is not okay anymore. And Chris Penn has a good, that look on his face.
That one of the things that I really didn't like is I know that they're trying to show how incredibly tough Baracus is.
Yeah.
But he basically kicks the living shit out of Penn like pretty quickly.
Yep.
Like Travis doesn't really put up a fight, and I I don't know. I kind of found that disrespectful because, you know, he didn't even get any good. I understand they're trying to make, oh my God, this guy just beat the shit out of Travis.
Yep.
But it makes me feel bad.
Well, it's a beating. It's not a fight because I think Travis hits him once or twice, but like it doesn't have any effect on him. And Baracus just fucking smashes him. And like he literally back, like just picks him up and drops him on the floor. And then when they decide like, oh, this is going to happen, they like put the flames up and draw the curtains in front of all the lower level club people so that they can't see. It's only the upper level, like penthouse viewing multimillionaire, whatever people that get to decide if he lives or dies.
Yeah, they get to see. Yeah. And then they get to see the actual murder. And then Walter just fucks the fuck off.
Yeah. They have that weird pedophile guy. Hey, what's the matter, kid? You need a place to go. You're like, dude, relax a little bit. I guess it was 93, so maybe Vegas was like a little more pedo-centric.
But you'd think that they'd be a little bit more subtle about it.
Right?
Like that guy scared the shit out of me. You know? And I'm watching the movie and he's like, hey, little fella, you wanna? Like, I'm sure that pedos probably fucking, you know, like try to mix in and look like a regular person. They don't just walk up like fucking jerking off
to a child, you know,
behind
on the street.
A newspaper. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, fuck that guy. Fuck this movie.
Yeah. And so fucking Tommy and Alex are over here with their dates, having a little date. And like, how does Walter get back to them? I don't know how he gets back. Okay.
There's so many fucking things like this. Cause like, They're in a cabin. This is downtown Las Vegas. Walter comes running into the house.
Yeah. Dad!
They show him run out of the fucking Coliseum. The pedo tries to pick him up on the street. And then, I don't know, maybe the pedo gave him a ride.
Maybe he took Travis's Firebird. I don't know.
We don't know because the film does not answer this at all. Just Walter comes running in. And then the other thing that's fucking stupid is Alex and Tommy go to the club.
Stock exchange sure
or
do.
Something like that. Yeah. They go to the club. Wayne fucking Newton is also working the door there, conveniently. And they're like, our friend Travis Brickley fought here tonight. We want to see him. He's like, hey, man, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Fight? This is a dance club. They're like, hey, man, we know that this is a secret underground fight to the death match with a fucking Eurotrash, muscular, hairless villain in the basement in a life or death balance match. He's like, All right,
you got me.
Okay, yeah, he was here. Okay, literally one sentence. Like, hey, we know. Like, this guy, Wayne Newton would be the worst if an actual real cop showed up. Like, absolute worst.
He gave them the, hey man, he basically gave them the Simpsons. Movie. Come on! Like, oh, he makes a good point. He makes a good point. We should probably answer the question.
Yeah, he makes a good point. He said, yeah, okay, yeah, all right, all right,
he
all
was
right,
here,
all
but
right.
He was drunk and he left with a girl. Fuck off.
Yeah, he left with a girl. He was slipping out of here, but he was totally fine. He totally survived the death match. Like, I don't even know why you guys are still here. He's probably off drinking. That's what everybody does after death match.
Oh, fuck, dude. It's so dumb. So, of course, they all go looking for Tommy. They go looking for Travis.
Travis.
Tommy's driving around. Alex is back at home squeezing his little hand exerciser.
Yeah.
But then they figure out, oh my God, they pull his car out of a reservoir. They pull Travis's car out of this reservoir the next morning. And Travis is now floating in this fucking Hoover Dam, whatever the lake is below the Hoover Dam. I don't know.
Again, they're doing Travis dirty, man. Like,
dirty!
His fucking body's all bloated. It's like, fuck, man. Like, Let Travis have, like, some dignity. He's laying on the beach, nude, his big blue bear ass is up. No, he's not.
He's not nude, but still.
Stretcher wearing. But, yeah, they dressed him in his fucking, they dressed him back up in his fucking cowboy clothes. But listen, I'm a fucking moron, okay? I'm a moron. I don't have any fucking training in police work or detective work, but I fucking know if a guy goes off a cliff in his car and drowns, there's going to be water in his lungs. If you kill somebody and throw him into a fucking reservoir,
right?
There's going to be no water in the lungs. Like, I know that.
Pretty easy to tell.
So I don't know how the cops, but again, your friend was murdered in Las Vegas and you know who did it. You know when it happened. You know the location and your kid was a fucking witness.
Yeah.
Okay. And they decide that the best course of action is to leave Walter at home yet again.
Yep.
And then go back and confront Wayne Newton.
Not only confront him, beat the fuck out of the security detail.
Yeah. Yes.
And then confront Wayne Newton and then attack Baracus. Like, what in the fuck are you doing? Like you said, you laid out the entire case. They have the body with the evidence of being killed somewhere else. You have an eye fucking witness and you have a guy that admitted, the front door guy who works there, that there's a death club there. Like, case closed, dude. You win. Like, what are you doing? I do like the... I do like when Alex attacks Baracus and he goes to punch him and Ralph Moeller blocks the punch and just grabs him by the cock and throws him over the table at Alex.
Yes.
Alex doesn't know where the fuck he is when he gets thrown. It's awesome.
Well, Philip Ree gets those little Taekwondo legs that just up humping and kick Ralph Moeller into fucking Snow White's mirror, right? Which happened to be placed on the wall. And
that is Snow White's mirror.
It does. It's fucking Snow White's mirror. It's exactly Snow White's mirror.
It totally is.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, and then all of a sudden he's like, looks at the scar on his face and he's like, I'm no longer the fairest of, well, he didn't say that, but
he gives
that look like, yeah, he's like, oh no, I'm not beautiful anymore.
I want to kill you.
This fight scene's not bad. Like, again, it's the stupidity of everybody involved that has to get them to this point so we can have a fight scene. And that's what irritates me more than anything.
Yeah.
But Alex and both Alex and Tommy, they look really good in this exchange. Like, they're moving quickly. They're throwing elbows. The angles of the hits are decent. The Foley is good.
Yep.
Like, the Foley mixes it up a little bit. Like, there's some high sounding snaps, like psh, psh.
Yep.
And then, you know, like they speed up a little bit, but they raise the pitch a bit. So it's like psh, 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 psh.
It's good,
like,
man.
You know, it's decent.
I like the Foley. I like the fight scene. If I look at just what Alex and Tommy do with these guards, I like it. I like it a lot. It's fast. It looks good. They seem like they're technically really good. What I have to ignore is everything that fucking got them there. And when they walk out, the head security guy is wearing Travis's fucking cowboy hat. Like, what are you doing? Where'd you get that hat, man? Oh, you know, I just found it.
Oh, you know, I found it.
You're not that dumb. Why are you so dumb? Like,
legitimately, after Ralph Moeller gets hit in the fucking Snow White mirror, they cut to Ralph Moeller getting stitched up, and he's literally sitting in the throne of the Queen from Snow White as he's getting stitched up. This movie is a fucked up Snow White.
I wonder if it is a fucked up Snow White. And he's like, I'm not pretty anymore.
Case could be made.
Now I'm going to have to go and, you know... Actually, I do want to quickly hear when they go to the funeral of Tommy and they lay the hat on there. Dejan is
Travis.
Travis's funeral. They lay the hat on there and Dejan's there with the other members of the Korean team. It's pretty cool, man. It's nice. It was cool to see that. Like, I like that little tie-in. I wish they would have used that angle more.
Yeah.
Simon Rhee is fucking incredible in movies.
I have many issues with this film. Like, okay, Dejan shows up, but Virgil doesn't show up and Sonny doesn't show up because they don't give a fuck no more.
Yeah, they're out.
Like,
they peaced out.
I don't know, man. Like, they're not even mentioned.
No.
Like, they're not even mentioned.
And I remember watching this film and being like, where's Virgil? Like, did he not sign back on for this? Like, what the fuck? How come? Like, I liked Virgil a lot in the first movie. I thought he was great. And then he didn't show up, which, by the way, we didn't mention that Virgil, we did another movie with Virgil. It was Jeff Speakman's movie.
Yeah. And the perfect weapon. I think he played Adam.
He played Adam in that movie. And we completely didn't mention that he was Virgil when we did that podcast, which we should have, but slip of the head. That's not the term. Anyway. So after the thing here, Alex goes to his news anchor girlfriend.
This is fucked too.
Yeah, it's weird, man. Like, I don't really kind of understand it.
There's a couple of things that we know about the particular universe that we are in.
Right.
Number one, it is incredibly easy to get into the basement underground fight club.
To the death.
It's also incredibly easy to fucking run onto set of a fucking live news program. Because Alex just literally opens the door and runs right onto the set where they fucking film. Like, there's no security.
Yeah.
There's absolutely I worked at a radio station in San Francisco, and we had fucking a key card, and then that brought us into a fucking lobby, and there was a security guard, and we had to sign in, and then he led us through where I had to use my key card to get into the elevator that, you know, would take me to the floor that my station was. I couldn't even get to another station, right? And Alex just fucking flies the fuck in, and he's like, I want you to report. Like, they do everything wrong. I want you to report on Travis Brickley's death. He was killed at the fucking stock exchange club.
Really?
Yeah.
You're like,
in the basement, they have an underground fight ring, and Wayne fucking Newton, believe it or not, Wayne Newton is the fucking host. And she's like, I'm about to go on air. And he's like, fuck you, lady.
Fuck you.
Fuck you and your beautiful, piercing eyes. I thought you were my lady friend.
What?
And we were going to do cuddles in 69 tonight, but now I'm not gonna. I am fucking leaving. Fuck you. And she's just like, why don't you go to the cops, you cockhole?
Yeah. You know all of this. Go to the police. What are you doing? Like, why are you here? How did you get here?
Yeah. How did you even get in here?
And this
she's like, I'm a sports reporter.
And this is insane because they cut from that to fucking Walter leaving school on his bicycle and then being chased by the bad guys in their car. And he drives his bicycle down the street and onto a goddamn airfield with all these fucking planes. Like, what in the fuck is happening?
As to continue with my last point, it's very easy to get into the secret underground fight club, to walk right onto set, and also to ride a bike or car right onto the tarmac at a fucking airport. Because, first of all, like, Walter leaves school, and these assholes show up in a Crown Vic or, you know, like a mobster car.
Yep.
And they cut to a wide shot. There is not another fucking kid, a parent, a teacher, a school bus. There's not even a fucking school in the background. It's just Walter leaving school.
Yep.
And it's just a deserted fucking road because they were able to shoot there. And who puts a fucking airport filled with fighter jets immediately adjacent to a fucking school?
Right? Because it's right there.
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, where do you go? Oh, I go to Top Gun Elementary. Working my way up to be a fucking up there with the best of the best. Oh, yeah, I know, me, Viper, Charlie. You know, we hang. Fuck. Fuck this movie's stupid. Again, there's some really great concepts here that I really like, but it's just fucking so much shit that doesn't make sense.
And then we get the guy showing up at Alex's place here with him and Tommy to try and kill them. And some fun little stuff here, like good little gun disarms and stuff. Philip Reed does some really nice gun disarms.
Yeah.
I remember back in the day in 93 when I watched this and that guy put the gun to Tommy's head and he did that backup swing around and he pinned the guy's wrist against his hand. And so the gun was pointing back at this guy and he was like, you want to shoot me?
Yeah.
Shoot me now, bitch.
Yeah, like, shoot me now.
Pull the trigger now, bitch.
Like,
I always thought that was fucking cool.
It's got some good stuff. It's got some good practical squibs. Like,
you
know, they show these guys and listen, their marksmanship is fucking dog shit,
ass.
Right? These fucking guys
solid ass.
Through. They basically walk up to the patio door and just start fucking blasting the patio door, like, yep. just to enter. It's like, dude, you just used a whole fucking clip to shoot through the patio door.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's unlocked, like, with these assholes.
Maybe element of surprise. Maybe use those words to your advantage, you assholes. But the Tommy and Alex kick the living shit out of these guys. Tommy's a little psycho. Like, he always has to be talked down by Alex. Because Tommy wants to shoot this dude in the face in front of Walter.
Hey, Tommy, don't. Walter's right here.
You want to take it down a notch there, Tommy?
He's already seen someone murdered yesterday.
Yeah.
Like,
he doesn't need to see a guy's brains get splattered all over my mom's fucking decorative plate collection. Like, can you fucking relax a little bit?
Yeah. The fucking Charles and Diana fucking wedding plate hanging on the wall. The next thing you know, some guy's brains get fucking painted with it.
So they leave. We get a quick little cut to Baracus looking at himself in the mirror again. And the cut scene of Tommy and Alex and Walter fucking off to try and find a safe place, because now they're obviously the bad guys know where they live. And they show up to the middle of nowhere in this ramshackle abode to Tommy's quote-unquote family. And, like, they're Native American. However, if you'll recall back to the first movie, we see the tournament where Tommy's very Korean brother gets killed by Dae-han.
And mother.
And is held as he dies by Tommy's and his brother's very Korean mother. So who is this Native American woman and family?
They actually go there and they're like, Walter goes, oh, so she raised Tommy as a kid? And he's like, yeah, she did. It's a long story. I'll explain later, Walter. And you're like, I'm really hoping that they're going to offer an explanation. And they fucking don't.
They don't. That's the last you ever hear of it. Because the writers could not think of something to say there. Like, I don't get it. It makes no sense. Like, did Tommy's mother kill herself because she was so fucking broken over the son's death? Like, there you go. There's an explanation. Tommy went into foster care, was adopted by Native Americans. Bam. Solved. 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Not a long story. Like, for fuck's sake, dude. I don't know. It pisses me off because it makes no sense.
There's a lot that I don't like about this, because you've got Sonny, who's the Native, like, this is where it gets really fucked, okay?
When Sonny Landham comes in?
Let's just break this down. Yeah. So, okay. You got Tommy now is not Korean. He's Native American somehow. He was raised by Native Americans, even though we saw his mother and brother.
Yes.
He was brought up on this reservation. Sonny is his brother. And then it's very quickly revealed that not only is Sonny his brother, but he lives on the reservation and he's an absolute fucking drunk.
Yep.
And he's a drunk because of the trauma he received when he fought Baracus that Tommy knows absolutely nothing about.
Yep.
Like, absolutely nothing about. And now the man that Tommy's running from is the guy that fucked up his brother and
Yes.
And he says, like, I am one of only three men in the world that can teach you how to beat Baracus. And it's like, well, who the fuck are the other two? Like,
and he didn't beat Baracus. He didn't beat him.
He did not. And do you know the other thing that?
Oh, fuck, dude.
The thing that really pisses me off, like, we're skipping through a lot of the parts of this movie because this needs to be discussed.
Yes,
this is fucking important.
Yes.
He's like, I'm going to train you how to beat Baracus because he fucked me up real good, and I know what to do. And he fucking shows Tommy how to pick up a fucking bow staff by rolling it backwards towards him and kicking it in the air and catching it. Dude, I swear to God, that is the only thing that he teaches him.
Yep.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
No.
But does he teach him anything? They do that, and then they go into the sweat lodge
yep.
so he can have a vision, and that is fucking it.
And that's magically, all of a sudden, the next time they're training, they're, like, doing okay. They're, like, whacking each other with sticks and tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat. And they're like, yeah, okay, that's good. But, like,
yeah, that's
right from
good,
the jump,
man, that's real good.
James, Sonny Landa's character, James, the brother, drunk as fuck, tries to pick a fight with Tommy, beats the shit out of Alex.
Like, Alex, yeah.
Punches the fuck out of him. Vomits everywhere. And then we get the cutscene to the next day where they figure out, oh, yeah, like, he actually fought Baracus. But, like, fuck. Do you remember the movie Crash? Not the weird David Cronenberg one. The one that was, like, the Oscar-winning one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Matt Dillon. And,
yeah. And how disconnected stories all, like, connected together. And by the end of it, you're like, well, come the fuck on. Like, I know it was a good movie, but at the end, I was like, come on, man. All of these things come together. On. Get the fuck out of here. This is like that, but with two things. Fuck. Because, like, the chances of one guy in a family getting his ass kicked by Baracus and becoming a drunk, and then his adopted brother finding out about this underground club and his friend gets killed by the same guy, and now he has to, like, fuck off, man. Like, I know you need a plot, but make it better. Christ. We're being hard on this movie, but this movie fucking deserves it, because I like the first one too much.
And I will give the fucking movie the credit at the points where it needs credit, but this is the most fucking bullshit part. Like, I fought for Team USA against Korea, even though I'm Korean, and a Korean guy killed my brother, and I clearly dropped my ice cream cone, and my mother was holding and hugging him, and then all of a sudden, remember he dropped his ice cream cone when his brother died?
Yeah.
And, you know, and then Dae-han comes up, and he goes, your brother was a good fighter.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, he couldn't have been that good. You guys were wearing pads, you know.
Yeah.
And you fucking died.
And you killed him.
Like, I don't know how... Yeah, I don't know how great of a fighter he was. You know, he's wearing his fucking helmet and his fucking chest protector.
Which led Tommy to go on the U.S. National Karate Team, even though he clearly does Taekwondo.
Yeah, I wish they just would have called this fucking Taekwondo instead. They referred to it as karate all the time.
It's fucking annoying and stupid, yeah.
But the contrivances of that plot, coupled with their ridiculous decisions to, like, not protect Walter and not go to the cops. And they just, and James is just like, I'm going to teach you how to beat Baracus. And it's Alex and Tommy are out jogging, and Alex and Tommy are doing push-ups
and working out.
Alex and Tommy are doing dips and working out.
Yeah.
James is just getting fucking drunk. He doesn't do shit or Shinola.
Neither. No, he's up to his elbows in Johnny Walker.
To help them. He's up to his elbows in Johnny Walker doing advanced elbow strikes by tipping that bottle back really, really fast. It's just horseshit. Like, they're like, oh, we're gonna hide from the mob. We're gonna take Walter out to, and Walter starts referring to her as grandmother, and it's like,
yeah,
hey man, like, you have a grandmother. We saw her in the first film,
right?
Like, why wouldn't Alex like send Walter back to his mom?
That, like, would make
across
sense.
Across the fucking country.
Right?
Like, across the fucking country. Like, hey, it's very easy. Like, I sent my kids to Ottawa once, and you can buy special passages where they're called unaccompanied minors, and they have a flight attendant that just stays with them.
Yeah.
You know, because I got somebody on the other side picking them up, right?
Right.
It's like, oh, yeah, we've got some unaccompanied minors. Like, get that fucking kid out of Las... Like, children shouldn't be in Las Vegas anyway. Not counting children that have witnessed a fucking murder from a goddamn Roman death cult.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, if my kids were in this kind of danger from psychos that were chasing them around, they'd be gone. I'd have them in a safe place. Like, it's nonsense. Oh, just keep them hanging out here unattended most of the time while I go for a jog. and my drunk fucking friend-in-law brother thing is hanging out. Like, it's fucking garbage. It's garbage plot.
Well, I mean, I just show up to the fucking police station. Yeah, there's a secret underground fighting ring below the stock exchange. Really? Where? Given them the exact fucking address. Here, our friend's body is floating in the harbor. Oh, it looked like an accident. Like, they didn't even say, like, the police are calling it an accident. They're not even calling it a car. Like, he's just fucking a body floating in the fucking river with no water in its lungs, clearly with bruises all the fuck over his face. Like, anyway, it's fucking stupid, man. It just makes me mad because when the movie is not making our main characters do stupid things to drive the plot forward, it's insulting my intelligence.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on. Tommy's not Native American.
No.
Like, I know he's not.
No, he's not. You established that in the first movie. God damn it, you established that. James sobers up the next day here and goes out to talk to them. This is where the scene that you mentioned earlier comes where, you know, James says, you remember that car accident that I was in? And Tommy's like, yeah. He's like, well, Baracus was the car. And he shows him his stomach and it's all scarred up. Yeah. Like, how did you get that? Did he stab you? Were you in a knife fight? Like, that's not what happens in the Colosseum. There's big, you teach him to fight with a fucking stick, and later they fight with those little spark poles or whatever the fuck they are. They're like flint rods that are like bow staffs. But like, he teaches him how to fight with that. How do you get that wound from that? Like, did he skewer you like a fucking pig? It doesn't make any sense, dude.
No.
Tommy's all
shit. When he says, I am one of three men that can teach you.
Yeah, that's some dumb shit.
How to beat Baracus. Like, that is like, who are these other two?
Well, there's a guy in Iran.
It was fucking Virgil.
There's another guy in Australia, I think. Maybe.
Yeah. But luckily for you, out of the three people, out of the 7 billion, one of them is me.
One of them is
your half brother.
Foster brother. Now here, take this bamboo stick and try to hit me with it.
Yeah.
And this is where he shows him that stupid move where he flicks it back with his toe and picks it up.
Yeah, there you go.
Dumb as
fuck. You fucking saved his life. You saved his life, James.
Ugh. It makes me vomit. It's really not okay. Yeah. And like, okay, dude, Tommy's a black belt in Taekwondo. Do you think maybe he might see a bow staff or know a bow staff form or three? He's like a high-level black belt who won the goddamn world championships.
I'm just having a hard time because I'm just correct me here. At this point in the film, is Tommy, I feel like Kirk Van Houten, is Tommy trying to fight Baracus, or is he trying to kill him? Like,
I don't even know.
Trying to do it the legit way in the Colosseum?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I know later he's forced to fight Baracus.
Yes.
But at this stage, like, why would he want to fight him in the ring? Wouldn't he want to just
kill him?
Like, I'd want to shiv him. Like, I'd show up with a shiv.
I'd be
damn the old fork in the eye,
training with a fucking with a sniper rifle and just clip this fucker in the head from a mile away.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I'd be driving up in a blue Caprice with a sniper rifle, like the old DC sniper.
Right?
I'd be like down. I'd be down the Vegas Strip.
Fuck that. I'd be like just. I'm not going to fight that monstrous human being when I can just smash him in the head with a fucking giant caliber round. Like, fuck that. But yeah, they're training. And Alex does the same thing with the bow staff. It's like it's his first time touching a piece of fucking wood. What is this I'm holding? I don't know what this. He fucks it up. He can't touch it right. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, Alex all of a sudden becomes the fucking guy in the opening of an info commercial that can't fucking make toast. You know? Ever try to put bread in the toaster and they're just mashing the fucking shit?
Did you ever try to cut onion? Did you ever try to cut a hard-boiled egg and then just mash it with the side of the knife? Like, what are you doing?
These fucking assholes in a hat.
Fucking.
And I don't even, like, oh, fuck,
You know why?
Like, I'm not even trying to be.
I'm this mad because they took characters that I really, really liked and were cheering for at the end of the first movie and turned them into fucking morons. And I hate that.
Okay. let's just take Native American culture, for example.
Please.
Okay. Let's just take that. And let's just take the sweat lodge, because they go to a sweat lodge. And they're like, yeah, this is a very spiritual thing. You sit in the sweat lodge, you sweat, you concentrate, and you might have visions. He's explaining that to his fucking brother who grew up there.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
James is now explaining all of this to his brother.
Yep. Sure is.
And he's like, hopefully you'll have a vision. This is your first time in a sweat lodge, even though I'm your goddamn brother, and you grew up
and
here.
You grew up in our culture, according
Tommy
to this story.
Goes in, yeah, and then all of a sudden, like, Tommy's now acting like it's his first time, and he like embraces the culture and gets a vision immediately.
Yep,
you know, and it's not even like it's not even a vision. It's he gets a flashback of Travis being killed.
Basically,
like,
yeah,
he actually sees the clips from the beginning of the movie, and it's like, hey man, how the fuck are you seeing all of this? It doesn't make.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And they try and kind of do... Remember the scene from the first scene when that well-shot dark scene when Tommy's punching the bag and really flailing on it and Alex comes in and he's like, hey, man, like, you're okay. Like, take a relax. And Tommy says something like, Dehan's training. And Alex's like, yeah, you fucking bet he is. Like, but even Dehan has to sleep. Like, kind of gives him that little talk. They kind of do the same thing here where Alex wants to leave the sweat lodge and James is like, hey, Maracus wouldn't leave. I'm like, yeah, but people die in sweat lodges. People die. Yes. Like, you have to leave or you might die. Like, you can overheat and kill yourself. So maybe let him go. Like, you've asked.
But Alex is like, Alex is like, I've read the script. I'm actually not the one fighting Maracus.
Yeah.
It's him. Like, in the next scene is revealed that Tommy's fighting Maracus, not me. So I can fucking leave.
I can just go outside and have a Coke and a smile and you guys can relax in here and keep doing what you're doing. And these guys are now expert bow staff fighters. FYI.
They are. I'm going to tell you, I did martial arts training. Okay.
Yep.
But I'm not an expert like nutritionist or physiologist or anything like that. But this is one thing I know. If I had a tournament coming up, like really soon.
Yep.
It's like, okay, yeah, you're going to fight. It's Wednesday. You're fighting on Saturday. It's like, okay, do you know what I think I'm going to do then? I think I'm going to carry a telephone pole 150 miles across a hot Arizona desert. I think that's what's going to put me in peak fucking form for Saturday. I'm gonna carry a telephone pole 150 meters. Hey, do you have any submerged pipes I can swim through? You know, something really long.
That story checks out.
It's just like, hey man, listen, if you got a big fight coming up, like, and again, I never fought at a professional level, but if you've got a big fucking fight coming up, you know, rest, stretch, stay hydrated, like, you know. Take it easy.
Yeah.
You know, stay loose. These guys are fucking lifting weights, fucking squatting with like fucking 8x8 fucking boards over their shoulder. They got a yoke. They're sleeping in the fucking sand. They're sleeping out in the fucking freezing cold desert.
Yep.
Training 19 hours a fucking day. It's like, oh yeah. Go into fight Maracus, you got diarrhea, your lips are all fucking chapped, there's flies buzzing around laying eggs in your fucking cheek flesh.
I want to be as sore as possible and as fucked up as possible to fight this monster.
Real fucked up. I hope we get a real good injury. Now, explain this next fucking scene to me, dude.
Yeah.
Explain this to me, please.
Okay, I don't know how. How did they find them?
I was fucking asking that. They're hiding.
Because I don't know. There's no connection. Yeah, there's no connection to these guys that anybody, like, fucking, we don't know about it because the first movie, he's Korean. So we don't know anything about why Tommy's Native American, but the guys from the fucking stock exchange find them here and they show up and just start shooting motherfuckers left and right. James
comes out. Not only do they find them, like, it's not even like a scout. Like, you know, he's seen, like, they literally fly a helicopter right to the fucking Indian reservation and land it, and a bunch of guys with guns gets out, and they're like, ah, all right, you got, all right, Tommy and Alex, how the fuck, how in the absolute fuck
I don't, it's
did they
so
know
stupid.
They were there?
It's dumb as fuck.
It's, I was watching it going, well, how'd you guys fucking find them?
Yeah.
Like, they don't even have phones out there. Like, there's a fucking sweat lodge and a couple of fucking poles.
Yeah.
And a desert.
Like, you want to talk to your neighbor, you got to send a donkey. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, there's nothing there.
Yeah, goddamn homing donkey. But these guys show up and just start fucking committing mass murder. Like,
oh yeah,
they just start killing everybody on the reservation. So,
and James shows up and takes one of them out, I think, but he gets shot a ton of times, and he gets his part of his hand shot off, and then pulls out a knife and crawls over the hood of the car and stabs that one fucking dude to death.
Listen, like, they shoot, like, fuck, like, I don't know, you'd have to be really fucking tough, okay? But he gets shot several times, like, in the chest and dick and, you know, neck area.
Yeah.
And he falls down dead, and you're like, oh, James is fucking dead. And then, inexplicably, he gets up after being shot,
yep,
pulls out a knife, runs up the fucking trunk of a car to the roof, jumps, and stabs a guy in the neck, and then he dies.
Yep, and then gets shot twice in the head. Pop, pop! Dude walks up and just executes him. So yeah, they take Tommy here into the helicopter to go back and sacrifice him to Baracus. And these guys are supposed to kill Alex and Walter and the Indian mother and the Indian father and whoever's left in there. And Alex, Walter does the little toss the keys, jump over, kick him in the face thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kick him in the gun, I should say. Yeah, and then Walter or Alex takes the gun and shoots him in the foot. And I do like the dad's like, hey, they're expecting three shots. So Alex just shoots up into the air, pop, pop. Because he didn't want to shoot him in front of Walter. Although he blew his foot apart in front of Walter, so I don't know what the fuck.
He had no problem with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem with that, son.
And then they pour gasoline all over this house. And, dude, the size of the explosion is so fucking big.
It was like when that fucking actual explosion, not making light to the people that died, but in China, do you remember when
those people were
in that apartment that building?
That was insane.
Filming, it was a warehouse. Like, oh, what do you store here? Oh, acetone and gasoline.
Fertilizer.
Fucking fertilizer.
Jesus Christ, dude. That was
fucking
mental.
Nuclear waste and fucking confetti. And it's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then it blows up. But it actually, the explosion was higher than the skyscrapers.
Yeah.
Higher than the adjacent skyscrapers. Like, that's what this fucking gas station. And listen, when you pour a line of gas in an open fucking field in the desert, like, it's going to dissipate. Like, it evaporates very, very quickly. But they fucking light it. And this explosion, like, hats off. Like, seriously, I've been shitting on this movie for quite some time.
Yeah.
Hats off on the demolition explosives team.
100%.
Awesome explosion.
That's it. Okay. Kudos. It's a tremendous explosion. And they obviously use that helicopter to get the helicopter shot of it. Because it looks great from above. Yes. That big boom, big mushroom cloud. It looks fantastic. Here's my problem.
The
bad guys
not in the shot.
Well, okay, the bad guys leave one of their own men and blow him up for fucking fun.
For fun, yeah.
And laugh at him. This is a pet peeve of mine in every movie that I've ever seen, is they show the line of gas being lit, and the helicopter blade is static in the image as they show that.
Yes, yes.
And 8 seconds later, the helicopter's at full rotation and taking off. I'm like, helicopters take like 20 fucking minutes to take off. Like, can you please at least show the rotor blades in fucking motion? But they don't, of course.
Get,
but it bugs me
things,
every time.
Get those things a spinning.
For Christ's sake. And it was a massive explosion, like we talked about. And I think I mentioned last podcast, we talked about fire and how hot it is, and that I drove past a burning truck on the 401 and it was hot as fuck. Alex, Walter, and the two grandmama grandpapas are, you're like, oh, they're dead. But they're not, because they're in like a wood-covered fucking basement inside the gas station.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of like charred pieces of wood on top. Dude, they'd be dead as fuck. They'd be so dead.
Yeah, those tanks underground that are filled with gasoline, they exploded.
You know, remember those?
They were underneath you. They were under you. I think it would be awesome if when they were doing that helicopter shot, that fucking, you know, like a burning Walter goes flying off to the side, all fucking limp. But that was the funny thing. Like, they used the because they used the helicopter to get the helicopter shot of the explosion. Like, they show the shot of the helicopter on the ground in front of the gas station, and then they immediately cut to the helicopter, and the chopper is gone because they're fucking using it. Like, and the helicopter goes. You're looking at it from the point of view of the helicopter.
Only had the budget for one helicopter.
They only had one cock sucking helicopter here, sir. It's like, what the fuck? This is certainly not the best of the best, sir.
I will take issue with that title, Mister.
Anyway.
Oh, speaking of budget, the budget for this was $7 million. Worldwide gross was $6.6 million, which was why the rest of these were direct to video. This was directed by the same guy that directed the first one, which astonishes me. Because why would you let this happen? Like,
why would you do this?
Why would you do the rest? To me? I think is there five of these or four best of the best? There's at least four.
No, there's four. Well, there's four to my knowledge.
To my knowledge, the other two now
could have slipped.
Are directed by Philip Rhee, and they're just as dumb. Because like the next one, he's like,
I didn't watch
the next one. He's like goes to a town and has to fight a bunch of white supremacists. Like, it's stupid as fuck. Anyway.
So he's not really trying to win karate tournaments no more.
No, he's just walking the earth, meet people, getting in adventures. That's all he's doing.
You know what would be amazing if he goes to the town of white supremacists and the name of their group is the best of the best.
Oh, and, see?
Like, the white supremacists call themselves the best of the best, and Philip Rhee's like, fuck that. That's my
title.
Moniker, motherfucker.
That was my title. God damn it. And the leader of the white supremacists, weirdly enough, is William Hung. See? Now it all comes around.
Dope.
I like it. So Philip Rhee, Tommy, thinks that Alex and everybody's dead, so he gets brought to the exchange here, the stock exchange, and has to fight to earn his way up the ladder. And dude, okay, again, to give credit where it's due, they put him in the Coliseum and make him fight this black dude in the yellow shorts. He fucks this dude up. Like, he does a kick to the side of this dude's knee that is spot on. It is awesome. Ruins the dude's knee. It's really good.
It is good. Like, you know, the guy comes out. He's looking good. He's cut. He's shredded. You can tell he's kind of got a box. He's wearing Everlast shorts. Like, you know, yellow.
He looks like
shorts,
a boxer.
Yellow boots.
Who's a boxer? You a boxer?
Yeah. Who's a boxer over here?
Get a little boxing memorabilia.
But yeah, it's good, and they're trying to showcase that Tommy is fucking legit pissed off because they just killed Alex and Walter, and now they're forcing him to fight Baracus, but he's got to go through the elimination rounds like he's on fucking
Survivor or some
fucking
shit.
Kenny Blankenship. What was that show? MXC.
But that's right.
Again, credit is due. Dude looks like a young ripped R. Kelly. Kicks him on the side of the knee. The special effect looks good. The Foley looks good. The break looked really good.
Yep.
He slaps on a little arm bar,
which looked great.
Finishes the match. Yeah, it looked good. Like, it's, you know, it's basically a squash match, right? Like, he put up no fight for Tommy.
Yeah.
But those matches are good in films and stories sometimes just to be like, holy shit. You know, you get some of those in there. It's pretty good.
And now, like, when they're showing this next fight against this massive ass wrestler dude, or he's supposed to be some kind of wrestler dude, who Tommy kicks the ever loving fuck out of. And the lower levels, the lower levels where it's glass, right, where the fire comes up and the curtains go across, those people watching, are they in the dance club? Or is that just another level of the Richie
Riches? No, I think it's just another level. I think it's just where the Richie Riches go.
All right. Because I was going to say, if you could watch the fights from the dance club, like, what's the secret anymore?
Oh, well, exactly. Well, the fuck thing is, like, I went to a club in San Francisco, and I was in the club downstairs. The dance floor was upstairs, but it was a plexiglass floor. And what? I'm on the first floor looking up. I swear to fucking God, it was plexiglass. The dance floor was above me.
So girls wearing skirts? I went in,
Yeah. And, like, I was there and nobody else was there. I just went, I saw this spot in the neighborhood in San Francisco, and I was like, oh, I'll fucking go in here, see what's up. And I just grabbed like a little beer. This was like 4 p.m. and they're like, yeah, it gets pumping here later. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what the, like, I fucking love vaginas as much as the next guy,
well,
but
yeah,
you know, you don't want to be fucking sitting in a bar just watching fucking, you know,
vulva, like, central above
fucking
you.
Dancing. Yeah, it's just like a bunch of fucking ham sandwiches just slapping to the beat. It's just like, what the fuck? Like, the bass is like,
ladies, do you not know that your fucking grilled cheese sandwiches, like, are hanging out? What the fuck, yeah, man?
Jesus.
God damn it.
He's like fucking vertical bacon sandwiches just fucking snapping.
Jesus Christ, above, man. You. That doesn't sound right at all.
No, I actually never went back, but I was there in the daytime, had a beer, and was like, yeah, no.
Yeah, I'm good without that. Thank you. So then we get the cut now next after Tommy fucks up that jacked wrestler dude. He fights this dude with the nunchucks where he comes out and spins the nunchucks, and Tommy's empty-handed for some reason. And the guy with the nunchucks does like a backflip towards Tommy, which is the dumbest way to approach your fucking opponent. And
yeah,
they have a little scrappy scrap. Tommy gets rid of the nunchucks. And then this guy has like a lead ball in the end of his long braid and is trying to use that as a weapon. And Tommy beats the fuck out of him.
Here's what I thought. Like, okay, they're like, welcome to the Coliseum. There's only one rule. There are no rules.
And you love it.
But he comes in with two fucking... comes in with a pair of nunchucks. And it's like, okay, well, if there's no rules, like... What's to stop someone from coming in with like a fucking shotgun? Like, you know, is a shot like, and now from France, the kickboxing fucker, and then blam, like
wagoosh.
And then Wayne Newton's like, what the fuck? He's like, yeah, you said no rules,
bitch. Like, and we get the super exaggerated overkill movie thing. Like, this guy smashes Tommy in the face with these metal nunchucks. Nary a mark on Tommy's face.
Yeah, a couple of times.
Yeah,
like Jesus, like I accidentally hit myself in the fucking cheekbone with wooden nunchucks with the string.
Yep,
like the hexagonal shaped ones. And you're fucking almost dead. Like you're standing on your feet and you're just like, there's like searing pain.
Yep,
but you're also a little woozy and you're just like, okay, I fucked up. Like, you know, like in real life, somebody swinging them full fucking speed intentionally at your head.
Yep.
Like, it's like
the fight's over.
Game over, dog.
The fight's over. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, goddamn. And Tommy beats the ever loving shit out of this dude, flips him around, chucks him, and then he ends up kind of doing like a Fight Club on Angel Face at the end here.
Yeah, he does a little bit of that,
doing the flashback to when James got killed, and he's just smashing this dude in the face, and he points at Baracus. Baracus lovingly touches his scar like, oh, I'm gonna fuck this dude up. I'll again, to give credit, Tommy's ripped to fuck. That overhead lighting's doing him a lot of favors.
When he points to Baracus, I really wanted to hear fucking Jackson from Bloodsport. Yeah, man, I'm going to kill you. You got it. That would have been awesome. I want you, man.
That would have been amazing. Dub that in there. And now Baracus addresses the crowd here. Gives the mic back to Wayne Newton. I'm going to kill you. You better ask for what you want.
He's
to
like,
ask for.
Tommy Lee. Tommy Lee has won the right to challenge me. I have accepted.
Yeah.
Let's get going.
Yeah, we're going to fight. Yeah, okay.
Do you remember the first UFCs?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if a guy won a match, he continued, and he, like, Philip Reed just fucking fought three matches and now he's going to fight the champion
yeah.
who hasn't fought a single match.
Yep.
Like, do you remember them fucking basically dragging Hoist Gracie down to the ring apron after he fought Chemo?
Oh, yeah, because he was like, supposed to fight Harold Howard after that, and he couldn't.
There was many a time in those early UFCs where guys won matches but were too fucked up to continue.
Yeah. Well, then, yeah, after, like, one fight.
Tommy's fucking fresh as a daisy.
Oh.
As he gets ready to fight Baracus.
Yep. He got killed, smashed in the face. That dude smashed his brain out with nunchucks. Apparently he's fine, though, yeah. to fight the champion over here.
No, he is.
Alex.
Why wouldn't you be?
Finally takes Walter to this newscaster girlfriend's place. Because he has to go figure out how to get Tommy back. So they finally ditch Walter and get him out of the story, thankfully. Not that I'm against what's-his-face, Eden Gross, but he needs to be out of the goddamn movie. And I think...
Well, I mean, you know, Alex is supposed to be some sort of parent. Like,
some sort of. Yeah, he hasn't been this long, for fuck's sake. And Walter gives him the little rattlesnake thing that the shaman person had or whatever. I don't even know what the fuck. The mom had it, I think. And fucking what's-her-face, Meg Foster, whatever the girlfriend's name is. I'm sorry, I'll take care of him. It's all good.
Yeah, okay. I should have done that.
Should have.
Yeah, I know you called me a bitch and fucking showed up at my job and called me a bitch in front of all my coworkers and all these people that work for me. And
acted like a psycho.
Said you don't give a shit about my job. Acted like a complete fucking psychopath.
But I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry, you, though.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't just fucking read a bunch of fucking hearsay on the news.
On the city news.
Yeah.
Your unsubstantiated claim you walked into drunk.
Yeah, she's not even a fucking, like, news reporter. She's the sports. She's covering sports. So can you imagine she's talking about fucking what would have happened in 93, like the fucking Charlotte Hornets and stuff. And then all of a sudden she just rolls into. And in other news, in the basement of the stock exchange, a man was murdered by Baracus, the champion and owner of the Coliseum, which is an illegal underground fight to the death match hosted by Wayne Newton. Walter Grady is an 11-year-old boy that witnessed the murder. He's hanging out of my apartment right now. Like, fuck.
Like, what?
What an asshole, Alex Grady. Don't be an ass. You're putting people in danger.
Oh, man. We get the training session here between Tommy and Baracus, where Baracus is working out. This is very Dolph Lundgren, Rocky IV kind of training, where they're beating the fuck out of him, and he's lifting weights and shit.
Yeah, but just not as good.
No, nowhere near as good. Tommy's doing some stretches and kicks and shit like that. It's okay. Like, it's nothing special.
It's like Rocky IV training in that they are trained.
In that they're doing physical activity, yes.
And there's opponents. but, you know.
I like the little cutscene to Wayne Newton when he says, "Here, kiss me on the cheek." And she goes in and he kisses her on the mouth.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Ha!" And then he immediately sprays Banaka in his mouth.
Yeah, Banaka. Honestly, Wayne Newton is a fucking, he is a fucking treasure in this film.
He's like, a boss, dude.
I love anybody, if anybody did what they were supposed to do, like, really well, it was Wayne Newton.
Yep.
Like, legitimate.
100%. Guy's awesome. I like this little cutscene here to the club, the little stripper club, and the fat guy starts talking to Dejan. I can't not talk about Dejan.
Every fucking movie, there's always a fucking rich Texan walking around being loud and fucking
obnoxious,
friendly.
Yeah,
like it's like, "Hey, how you doing, buddy? Where are you from?" Dejan's like, "Houston." He's like, "Oh, he said Houston."
You one of them chop suey fighters? The fucking ass clown. Tommy's walking into the arena in this cool silhouette here with literally 8 armed guards around him. Overkill, in my opinion.
This is the most guards that we've seen.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so fucking stupid. Like, when they go to the front door at the very beginning, when Alex and Tommy first show up.
Yep.
Like, the Wayne Newton is at the door and the fucking helicopter pilot.
Yep.
Like, these guys just don't have other things to do.
Nope.
Like,
they sure don't.
They're just, hey, hey, I'm the fucking MC of the Coliseum, but I'm just going to work the door at the dance club and have my helicopter pilot just standing next to me. Like, fuck off, movie. Like, just please fuck off.
Well, and like, they go against their own thing because they have eight literally armed guards with machine guns and shit on Tommy. But the first time we see Baracus enter the club, there's an armed guard there with a pistol. And Baracus goes, what did I say about guns? And the guy's like, well, I'm sorry, Mr. Baracus. And he's like, warriors, fight here. Put it away. And they're like, so you're not supposed to have guns in the club. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. But these eight motherfuckers with shotguns are escorting Tommy to the ring.
The warrior going to the ring. Like, the fuck, man? And then Baracus comes out wearing his cape and fucking cowboy codpiece here.
Oh my god.
Whatever the hell
he looks
wearing.
Like discount Darth Vader, like before the accident. Like Vader before he got burned up. Like he's got that stupid black cape.
And his assy show stuff. His assy showgirls.
Assy. Oh my god, those showgirls were fine. I will say.
If I'm gonna
I will
give
say.
Kudos, they're looking good. And then they give a little Tommy and Baracus mad dog each other a little bit, and Wayne Newton gives his little "it's the Coliseum, there are no rules, and you love it" kind of thing.
Just how similar is Tommy's hair to Wayne Newton's hair?
Very.
Like the makeup person really like was just like, fuck it, I ain't getting paid enough for this bullshit. They're both getting the same haircut.
If you if you Legoed Tommy Lee's hair off of his head and Legoed Wayne Newton's hair off his head and switched them, I don't think you'd be able to tell.
Yeah. It'd be difficult.
I don't think you'd be able to tell.
You'd definitely notice Ralph Moeller's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
His is crispy, man. He's got gray hair.
His is crispy.
So 93. It's so 93. Like, he's got the fucking highlights and the hair mascara and shit. Like, it's fucking awesome.
Crispy good cookies. Yeah, I like it. Alex tries to sneak in the back door here, and he stabs that dude in the hand with the pen. That's Kane Hodder again.
Yeah. Kane Hodder was Bert in the first one.
Yeah, Travis.
He shows up in the second one.
He shows up in the fucking third one, too.
Oh, my God.
In the third one, he's one of the white supremacists at the end.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Yeah, he's in all three. He just didn't go in the fourth one. But yeah, Kane Hodder.
Oh, that would be even better now that I know that he's in it. Like, if he was, like, the white supremacist and Philip Ree, like, kicks the shit out of him, and just as he's dying, he goes, I guess you really are the best of the best. And then he dies. That'd be the best. And then he just looks at the camera as he dies.
Break the fourth wall. Huh?
I said the thing. I said it.
And a little trivia thing here. One of the guards at some point in here is David Boreanaz, the guy that plays whatever the fuck, Angel or on Buffy, and he was on Bones and shit.
Yeah.
He's one of the guards that gets his ass kicked in here somewhere. I don't exactly know where I'd have
to. Good for him.
Yeah, he's in it, whatever.
I'd have to give a shit enough to actually watch for it, so.
I don't really.
That's not going
to
happen.
No, I've watched this movie three times, and I don't give a fuck enough to pick it out, so.
Yeah, I'm not going to fucking watch this on half speed just so I can see a flash of David Boreanaz.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, look at it. He was on Bones. David.
Yeah, he was on Bones.
Jesus. So Alex is going upstairs and trying to fuck up all these guards to get in and help Tommy, while Tommy and Baracus are exchanging blows in the octagon here. I shouldn't say octagon, Coliseum. Dae-Han is in here helping Alex. There's some good shit.
Yeah.
Fucking dude, Simon Ree's awesome. He is a high point. He's in this movie way too little.
He is fucking killing it. Like, this could have been, well, it just could have been much better, but it's not. But,
well, give all of Walter's screen time to Dae-Han.
Why have Dae-Han in it if he's in it so little?
Yeah.
That's the issue. Because when he starts going, man, he's actually, I mean, I love Philip Ree. I really do. And I think he did a good job in this film. But when Simon Ree's running around fucking kicking names and taking ass in the upstairs, like,
hell yeah,
that's exciting. Like, that's really good.
He's so fast. It's shocking when you watch him actually go like, pop, pop, like, wow. Like, he's really quick.
And this fight that he has, that Ralph Moeller and Tommy has, like, Ralph Moeller, for his size, his speed is fucking staggering.
Yes,
okay?
It is.
But because he's not going to be as fast as Philip Ree, but he's doing punches and kicks, like the editing on their fight, it's over edited.
Yes.
Like it's really over edited and it takes me out.
Yeah.
It really would have been great to have some choreography where, you know, Baracus wrestled a bit more, still used his speed. I just found like it's really edited. So Philip Ree hits him on the instep with a fist.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, and then he fucking does a leg sweep and takes him out. Like, you know, it's just too edited for it to be good, despite the fact that it could have been so much better.
Yeah, it could have been a lot better. I do like this fight out here with Alex and Dehan taking out these guards. Dehan does like a jump kick, spinning back kick in the air thing. That's really kicks that dude like into the glassed in set of armor and shit. Fuck, it's
good. That
was
a really good fucking kick. Yeah, he just like a, it's almost like a fucking jump spinning back kick.
Yeah.
Like, it happened really fast. I don't fucking.
He like taps exactly off him with his lead leg and then spins into the jump back kick. It's good, man.
But that guy got fucked up. The first guy got fucked up. But the second guy, he basically gets like a fucking hip toss.
Yeah, he gets thrown.
Like, he gets a hip toss and then he just lays on the ground. Like, he didn't even look like he hit the ground that hard.
No, dude.
And, like, he lays there dead. He's probably just pretending because I probably wouldn't get up.
I would have too. That shit happens to me 400 times every Wednesday night at wrestling class. I get up every time.
Yeah.
I'm 51. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that dude should have got up unless he was like, well, no, I'm going to get my ass kicked more. I'll just lay here.
I'm going to get my ass kicked.
I'll take the zero.
I'll take the zero. I'll get fired.
This little fight here where Alex and Dehan come out is kind of nice. There is a bit of an oversell on that clothesline when that guy does that fucking backflip.
Okay. The guy that actually does the flip when Eric Roberts does the clothesline.
Yep.
That guy actually fucking wins the stunt award for me.
Yes.
Cause he fucking legit, like all Eric Roberts does, he doesn't even do a good clothesline. Cause he just kind of puts his arm out and stops.
Yep.
And the stunt man does all of the work, like all of the work.
Yep.
And it looks fake as fuck. But I gotta say, I'm super impressed with the stuntman because he fucking basically takes the clothesline, does a fucking flip like one would expect, but keeps it going and lands on his fucking chest with his legs bent up over. I fucking thought it was great.
It was a good stunt.
It was awesome.
I'll tell you.
Oh yeah, it's a good stunt. It looked like horse shit.
Oh yeah.
Because it didn't look real at all. But that's fucking stuntman, man. He fucking.
He crushed it.
They paid him. He fucking earned it.
Yeah,
good
he crushed
on him. It's not his fault Eric Roberts can't throw a fucking clothesline.
No, it's not. Tommy Lee and Baracus in here with the spark pipes are like whacking each other.
Yeah.
And the sparks are flying. And Baracus like hits Tommy in the face with this pipe.
Yeah.
Which would, again, end the fight. You know, it's like Brandon Lee at the end of fucking Rapid Fire with that metal pole that Ty Ma hit him in the face with, right? Pop! Like, end of fight, but they keep going. They flash out to Alex and Dehan, and they see Tommy in the ring like, ah, Tommy! Fucking does his yell. And he looks at Dehan. Alex looks at Dehan and goes, there's three more guys over there. And Dehan looks and goes, yep, what do we do? And Alex goes, you take them. I'm going to get Tommy. Like,
yeah,
you're going to go watch the fight? You fight those fucking eight guys over there?
There's three more guys. What do? You take them.
I got ringside. Come on, man.
I'm going to go get a G&T and sit ringside.
Because all Alex does is goes into the Coliseum and watches the fight and goes, yeah, Tommy. Like, yeah.
He legit does nothing. He turns the corner and fucking helicopter pilot there, Burke. Burke's nemesis, the Sandman from Death Warrant.
Yes.
Is standing there when Alex runs around the corner and Alex basically kicks him through the glass. Like you said, walks in and just watches the fight. I'm going to go get Tommy. And he just.
You're not.
Tommy fight Baracus. And he's just standing there in a fucking tuxedo.
Yeah.
With a fucking ring of fire behind him, just going, yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah, Tommy, yeah, but yeah. Oh,
this
yeah.
is where we get the wheel kick from Tommy that hits the rubber Baracus face, and the face goes, which is, I don't know if it's a great or awful, because I'm kind of torn. Half of me is like, that's astonishing.
It's garbage, but I think they spent a fucking lot of time and money on it. So they're like, no, it's staying in. We put a lot of fucking effort into it.
Yeah.
But while they're fighting, they keep cutting back to fucking Eric Roberts. And he's just like awkwardly shifting weight on his feet and taking a step forward and back.
Yep.
Like he's almost like he's trying to do some sort of like square dance. But he's got Parkinson's, and he's just like, yeah, yeah, Tommy, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like doing the most awkward dance, like a fucking alien trying to figure out what sexy is. Like, it's so fucking stupid. Like, I fucking hate it.
He wants to do something, but there's nothing actually to do. He's like a guy in a porno. Yeah. That is in the background. It's just like mildly ineffectively jerking off to keep a semi-hard dick just in case he's needed later. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Yeah. In case he's brought into stunt cop. He's just like, yeah. All right. You do that. You do that. All right. He's self-fluffing over there. He needs a break. Bring in the stunt cock.
Yes.
It's my time to shine.
Yes.
Stunt cock.
Spotlight's on me. Well, not me.
Stunt cock, not me, but on my dicky bird.
So fucking Tommy refuses to kill Baracus, and then Baracus attacks him from behind, and Eric Roberts says, Tommy, look out! And Tommy does the little punchy spinny, break his neck, crack, kills Baracus. And
yeah, because everyone's like,
kill him.
Wayne Newton's like, should we kill him? And everyone's like, kill Baracus, kill him. He was my hero a minute ago. I just want to show you just how
fickle we are.
I am, and we just want to see blood. And then they start putting that like distorted fucking funhouse mirror lens effect on their fucking rich white faces. And they're just like, yeah, it's fucking ghetto. I hate it.
Yeah, it's lame. And then they, yeah, fucking Tommy Lee's the new owner of the Coliseum. What are you gonna say? Come on, say something, Tommy. Say something. Come on, Tommy. Say something. And fucking Eric Roberts goes, yeah, Tommy, say something. Tommy goes, the Coliseum is closed. And then they start to walk out, and fucking Wayne Newton tries to call them back, and Eric Roberts elbows him in the face, and they walk out, and he turns the lights out, and the lights are like fucking into this dog shit movie.
I gotta say, Wayne Newton fucking sold that elbow.
He did sell that elbow, man.
But despite the fact that there are some spots in this film I love, the fucking plot and contrivances in this film, this is fucking dog shit served on a hot shingle in July.
Yeah, it's not, dude, it's not good. And again, I feel bad saying that because I love the first movie. The first movie is legitimately one of the most underrated martial arts movies ever. Yeah.
It doesn't get enough of its due.
No.
It really should have put the focus on Taekwondo. Like, it really should have. Like, they talk about karate. I'm a karate guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that the Taekwondo nature of that film really should have got its due.
Yeah, it should have been the World Taekwondo team or the USA Taekwondo team.
It really should have been. But, you know, it wasn't.
Although I don't know how you get Chris Penn to do Taekwondo, but he's the one karate guy that was like, well, I'll be on this stupid ass team. Fuck you. Karate's better anyway.
Yeah.
And like, be that guy, right?
Karate's better. But this movie missed, like, the script. Like, do you think that whole Coliseum's going to shut down just because Tommy left?
Yeah,
you think
no.
Wayne Newton's not going to pick up that fucking microphone and crown a new fucking champion like
that night?
Immediately?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay, fuck. Yeah, that doesn't count. My fingers are crossed.
Yeah, like, now I own it, you know, and I'm going to run it the way I want to.
Yeah.
Start sucking.
Like millions and millions until it starts. Start sucking. Rich white aristocrats of the crowd.
And you love it.
And you love it. Here, I'm going to show you my dick. And you love it. I'm going to start saying, and you love it to everything that I fucking do.
Oh, man. Fuck. Yeah, this movie, it had potential, but it just ate a bunch of ass instead. So, all right, babe, what do you got for music and soundtrack and Foley?
I really don't recall any of the music, but I will say that the Foley was nice. Like the Foley, yep. The Foley worked pretty good. The music at the end where, you know, like that inspirational kind of music that was playing when Tommy was fighting Ralph Moeller. I thought it was, I thought it was so-so. Not crazy about it, but I will give it 3/5 out of 5. But that's mostly for the Foley. Cause the Foley was good. Like the Foley was actually good. The gunfire was half decent. The breaking glass, the hits, how it wasn't just the same sound over and over again. Like the pitch changed,
yep.
As the speed went. So yeah, I give it 3/5 out of 5, but nothing special about the music.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd go 3.5 just cause there was nothing super cheeseball that I noticed about the music. It blended in well, the score seemed to fit well,
yeah.
And the Foley was good. Like the Foley was really solid. So I'm totally fine with a 3.5/5 for that. And you know what? I'm kind of the same way for acting. Like with acting in this movie, that wasn't the problem at all. Everybody who acted in this was pretty okay. There was never a point in the acting where I was like, oh, fucking come on, man. Like, you're overdoing it. You're selling it over. The acting for me is like an easy 3.5, maybe even a 4, to be frank, out of 5 fists. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm with what you're saying. I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to go 2/5 out of 5 for acting. And it's not because the acting is bad. It's just the script is so bad that I have a hard time getting over the poor script.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
And I think that I fucking think Wayne Newton goddamn killed it. Like I really think that he killed it. I think he is the best actor in the film. Like I really do.
Would you say he's the best of the best?
Of the best, but I'm going to give acting 2/5 out of 5, and it's not about the performers. It's really about the performance with this dog shit fucking script that just can't save it.
Yeah, no, it couldn't be saved for sure. And what about martial arts? Looking at that, by
martial
itself.
Arts, I think are pretty solid overall. I'm going to give it 3.5/5 for martial arts. I think I gave a higher score, for the original film, Best of the Best, because I really think that that's actually part of the story. Like it was really cool. Not only were these guys doing martial arts, in the film as part of a tournament, but martial arts brought them together. They had to be a team because a team is not a team if you don't give a damn about each other. So martial arts made them like work together.
Yep.
I think the martial arts in the first film is like just so much better.
Oh,
so much better.
Yeah.
And this is just kind of an action film that, you know, martial arts is kind of there, but I appreciated seeing Simon Rhee.
Yep.
I really appreciated Philip Rhee. He was pretty good. And I will give a fucking A for effort for Ralph Moeller for being a massively fucking fit dude that still had, you know, flexibility and movement.
Mobility,
He could have had a different style than him punching and kicking. Like, he shouldn't have been doing high kicks and shit. Even if he can do them, he's too fucking big to have any sort of fucking whip and torque.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's where I stand on that. Where are you?
I'm about the same. I would go 3/5 out of 5. I can't remember what I gave the first one. I'm pretty sure I went high, though, because it's so goddamn good in the first one. And it's so, like you said, it's so integral to the story. Whereas here, it's a device used in the action movie because that's what they have. So
yeah,
I think I'm pissed at how they did Travis. That annoys me.
They did Travis dirty, man. They did Travis dirty
hard, right? I think Alex's martial arts are pretty good. They're not as good as the first movie. Although he does his same little weird cross arm stance thing, which I like that holdover. Fuck?
Like, how come his shoulder magically doesn't hurt anymore?
Yeah, his shoulder's fine now.
I'm knocking it down.
Totally,
I'm knocking it down to 2.5 because the fucking contrivances, man. Like, Alex has a hurt fucking shoulder. Like, his shoulder's junk. His mother said he had to fucking tape it to his fucking chest and fight one handed because his shoulder was so wrecked.
Because his shoulder was a piece of shit. Man. Now his shoulder's totally fine. He's flipping dudes over his head and doing Aikido wrist locks and shit all over the place. Like, fuck out of here.
Yeah, beating the fuck out of guys, standing over them, doing the Degeneration X cross nuts fucking hands.
Yeah, so I can't go higher than 3 fists out of 5. I think, again, Philip Simon Rhee, they're both good.
Simon Rhee should have been in this
way more. And I agree totally that Ralph Moeller, I think he should have been a Greco-Roman wrestler and should have just been tossing fucking dudes left and right.
Dope. Yeah, tossing dudes, like real hardcore stuff.
Yeah, like get him in there with some Olympic Greco dudes and just get him to, here's a couple, like, 2, 3, 4 really big guy throws and just let him get a hold of dudes, you know? Like, he's massive.
Honestly, even if he wasn't using like Greco-Roman wrestling, even if they had him fucking polish off some professional wrestling, like the fucking Scorpion Death Drop or the fucking Crossface Crippler,
Boston Crab,
like
a figure 4 leg lock,
Boston Crab, like, you know, he could have, like, a fucking Boston Crab, if sold properly, looks like someone's going to die.
Because they are.
So, you know, can you imagine? Yeah, can you imagine? Well, they don't actually really, like, oh, the Iron Sheik broke 60 guys' backs a year. Yeah, just Vince McMahon running a fucking paraplegic ward out of the back of the fucking WWF.
No, but if you Boston Crab a guy and, like, fall back, you could seriously fuck their knees and ankles up.
Oh, you could, yeah. Yeah, you fucking definitely could.
But yeah, oh yeah.
All these guys working in the fucking broadcast booth now in wheelchairs. We're typists now.
But yeah, you could totally throw some pro wrestling shit in there for Ralph Moeller and have it be spectacular.
Yeah, yeah, it would look way better. It would look way better because his shit looks slow. You know, that's not even me being a fucking dick towards him. Like, when you're 300 pounds and zero body fat, like, fuck, you're not gonna be fucking fast like Bruce Lee.
No, you gotta play to your strengths, right? Would you use Sammo Hung in this movie?
I most definitely would use Sammo Hung in this fucking film. First thing I would do is I would get James is out. The whole Native American thing is out.
Yep.
Okay. Travis is fucking dead.
Yep.
Okay. Travis is dead. These guys, and I don't know how they would do it, but they would come across the character of Sammo Hung. Sammo Hung is fucking down on his luck. He's, you know, not doing well. I don't know if he's as far as a street person, but he's not doing well. He is the former owner of the Coliseum, the one that Baracus
took it from.
Beat. To win the Colosseum and took it from him.
Yes.
Right? And now, instead of him learning how to fucking roll the stick across his fucking heel, an actual fucking Colosseum fighter, previous champion, Sammo Hung, is going to train Tommy in the ways of it and teach him all kinds of shit. And if Baracus really is a wrestler, he's going to teach him how to deal with a fucking ground fighter.
Yeah.
He's going to grab you. You're not going to be fucking strong enough. Like, you know, get some real fucking shit going on there. That's where I would use Sammo. I would have him as the previous owner of the Coliseum looking to get revenge on
Baracus.
That's
a great idea because even with that, you could have – it's in Vegas. So he's the previous champion. He's got a warehouse somewhere that he used to train at that he still has because it was a secret.
Yeah.
You bring them there. He's got a ring. He's got a cage. He's got all kinds of shit that shows him what to do. But he's been out of it, so he's fat and he's fucked up and he doesn't want to. But now he sees that Travis got killed and these guys show up and he's like, oh, these guys, I could show these guys what to do. This guy's young. He could take Baracus if he knew what to do. And I have that shit. I can't beat him anymore, but I can show you. Like, you could totally ring that out and rewrite the whole goddamn movie.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
Yeah, Walter can go stay with Tommy's fucking mom.
Yeah, Walter can. Yeah, Walter's not even in the fucking thing. Maybe
Walter's
with
his mom.
Like,
fuck
immediately
Walter.
After the fight, Walter runs outside, calls a cab, and goes directly
to the
airport.
Hit by a fucking bus. Would you put William Hung in this to fuck it up, or where would you put William Hung to fuck it up?
Oh my God, I never even actually thought of this. So off the top of my head, if I really wanted to fuck this up, I would put William Hung as the guy that Wayne Newton tries to kiss on the cheek
and smacks him on the lips. I don't know. I'm just throwing that in there.
That's hilarious. That would be amazing.
I actually thought a lot about Sammo today. I was actually thinking what I would do if Sammo, and I never thought one bit about William Hung. So sorry.
That's all good. I actually didn't either.
I was actually so happy. I was so happy that I came up with a good one for Sammo that I didn't think about William.
Oh, if I wanted to fuck this up, oh, God, I would replace Wayne Newton with William Hung.
Oh, that would fuck it up.
Right?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Because then you'd have him being like, yes, and you love it. Do you love me? You love me, though, right? Like, I would totally fucking put that in there. That'd be amazing. And he would not be okay with that role. it would be bad. Oh, who would you buy a beer?
I'd buy a beer for that fucking stuntman that took the goddamn belly flop off the clothesline. Because you know that guy fucking worked his ass off to get that fucking shot that doesn't look good, but he busted his ass. So I think that guy deserves it because he lands right on the fucking upper chest.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can tell he raises his chin so he doesn't bash his fucking face. Like, you can tell he's a pretty good stuntman.
Yeah.
But the stunt just didn't sell. But this guy fucking sold it and probably got the wind knocked out of him. So I'm going to give it to that guy. Who are you giving a beer to for this film?
I'd buy Wayne fucking Newton a beer.
That's a great one.
I would like to sit down and chew the fat with Wayne Newton for a couple hours. That'd be the shit.
He's still alive.
Oh, he's still alive. He's around.
That's amazing.
I'd buy that motherfucker a beer right now. Would you remake this fucking movie?
I would.
Would you?
I would remake this movie. Yep.
I don't think I would.
I totally would.
I'd leave it alone and just...
You'd leave it?
I'd leave it and I'd forget about 2, 3, and 4 and I just... There's one best of the best. All the rest can eat dicks.
Can I pitch you this and then you can tell me?
Yeah, pitch it on. Bring it.
Okay, here it is. It's a soft reboot. Okay. So this one actually took place, but we're actually going to retell it. So after the events of this film, everyone thinks that everything's fine. But it's not fine because Walter, because of seeing Travis and all of this stuff and these guys trying to murder him, Walter goes fucking insane.
I'm listening.
And then years later, Walter decides that he's going to fucking start the Coliseum up again. He thought Tommy was wrong. He thought that this should be done.
He thought Tommy should have owned the Coliseum.
Yes. Okay. So an adult Walter seeks out Wayne Newton and tries to start it up again. And they do, and they start it up as a mixed martial arts fucking octagon coliseum.
Yep.
And Walter, that little boy, yep. Walter, is played by fucking Joe Rogan. And you got...
He's all juiced to the titties Joe on Rogan. TRT.
Yeah, juiced... Juice to the fucking max on human growth hormone, fucking everything.
Talking about fucking elk meat and fucking nootropics and shit.
Wayne Newton's fucking sipping a martini and fucking Joe Rogan, Walter Grady is fucking, you know, smoking a joint, fucking going, yeah, this is fucking great, man. Like,
yeah, I was talking to Elon Musk. Were you fucking dickhead?
Yeah, and fucking, you know, Dana White's in there too, so...
Why wouldn't he be?
They basically... Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you put this... This movie's such dog shit. That's how I would fucking... That's how I would fucking remake it.
You know what?
I'd watch that. It'd be fucking I'd watch awesome. That. I'd watch that. I'd watch Joe Rogan fucking doing commentary on the fucking Coliseum.
Because I think in the end, Tommy Lee would have to kick the fuck out of him again, so...
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
All right, dude.
Amazing.
That's a goddamn wrap. On 1993's Best of the Best, Part 2. Coming up next, I'm actually kind of excited for this one. Coming up next, we're jumping back in time and we're jumping overseas to Hong Kong because we are going to 1986, directed by Sammo Hung, starring Sammo Hung, Yuen Bao, Cynthia Rothrock, Richard Norton, Yuen Wah. Oh, we're doing Millionaire's Express. Homeboy!
Oh, sweet. Yes. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one.
This is fucking awesome. I love everybody in this film. Like, everybody in this film is amazing.
This is one where I've seen clips from it, but I've never actually sat through it.
No, me neither. This is going to be amazing. I'm excited.
Yeah, man. This is going to be dope as hell. I'm excited. So,
That's good, because I'm going to be fucking depressed for the next 7 days until we record
again. I know, right?
After seeing this fucking best of the best poo.
Best of the best turd fest.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
Looking forward to
next
it,
week,
man.
1986, Millionaires Express on You Have Offended This Podcast.